is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 219 in the series. The Town Council Budget Subcommittee met at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, March 4, 2020, before the Town Council meeting that same night. The agenda was an FY2021 budget update, effectively a preview of what was going to be covered in the full Town Council meeting. The conversation in the meeting provides some insights into the overall budget discussion. The meeting audio runs about 30 minutes, so let's listen into a preview of the FY 2021 budget.
Time being 6:03, and the chairman being late, I will call the budget subcommittee meeting to order. First thing on the agenda is the FY 21 budget update, and Jamie, I'll throw it on to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You might want to also say there might be some taping.
And there are more people in the room.
Yeah, Steve Sherlock's taping us.
And the open meeting law.
Oh, you want me to read this whole thing? This is a meeting of the Franklin Town Council Subcommittee under the open meeting law. This subcommittee is a separate public body from the town council. Therefore, unless the town council has separately noticed and hosted its own meeting, councilors who are not members of the subcommittee, you know who you are, will not be permitted to speak or otherwise actively participate at this meeting, although they may attend and observe. This prohibition is necessary to avoid the potential for any open meeting law violation. That's the best you're getting out of me.
Yeah. Thank you.
It works.
Go ahead, sorry.
Okay. Well, so thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've distributed, which will be part of the minutes, the exact same FY21 budget update memo that was in the town council packet. In talking to the chairman, he wanted to get the group together. He talked really quickly before the meeting. I guess I would really actually just open it up for questions as opposed to me rehashing the entire memo and then we're going to go rehash the whole, I'm not going to go through the memo at the meeting either. I have a couple preliminary remarks, but I would just open it up if it was okay with you, Mr. Chairman, any of the members or anybody that wanted to ask any questions about the memo, any of the assumptions, any of the numbers, happy to answer anything the subcommittee may have.
So the floor is open. Any questions? I have a question.
Sure.
You and I spoke. We talked about inviting the superintendent of schools in the budget subcommittee for the head of the budget subcommittee for the school.
Oh, I think they'll be at the meeting later.
So they didn't want to come now?
I think they're meeting now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they were having their own meeting maybe.
Good.
And they had to postpone the meeting from the demographics analysis to tomorrow night. So that's another form I sent out to you earlier. Mm-hmm. But really what you're looking at here is a $3.5 million deficit. I think you go through the assumptions. I think it's obvious where that deficit generally comes from. I think that the school superintendent's recommended budget is a reflection of what the school community is requesting. Obviously, we can't fund that entire budget. It's impossible. We don't bring in anywhere near that amount of revenue to even cover that, let alone the municipal costs. The plan from here on out is to sit down with the finance director, work out the numbers for a balanced budget, which I do believe is in reach. And that's obviously going to reduce, as people will find out later, there'll be a reduction obviously in the school department item in my proposed budget, as well as the roads and some department expenses. As you'll hear from me later, again, I think it's not just a conversation about what we're not funding, which is what some people will say, but also what we are funding. Our departments are in really good shape right now. And I think that the budget that will likely come out from me at the FinCom in April into the Council in May is going to reflect a lot of things that our departments care about and that are big priorities for this community, particularly, as all of you know, with the revised fire contract and the revised police contract from a year ago. Those are two departments, as all of you know, have been doing some huge work with paradigm shifts, changing their schedules of when they work, reducing overtime to pay for additional hires of police officers. The fire department's eliminating day jobs and stipends to try to create us the room to be able to hire 4 new paramedics next January. These are all in response, clearly, to the call volume need they have. And I think that reflects a lot of what our other departments are doing. You know, we continue to change the way we do business to try to make sure that we don't have to get into a situation where we need to ask the taxpayers for more money. And that's where it's at. So, you know, this is just an update for the council meeting to kind of give everybody in the community an update of what those choices are, what the choices are moving forward, and what the timeline is on everything moving forward over the next several months until we get to the May budget hearings before Memorial Day. You
know. So just, do you know what the last year subtotal on education was?
Let me get to the sheet. So last year, let me just get to the sheet.
Is this last year?
No, this is this year. This is the proposed 20, well, right now.
Usually we get a side-by-side comparison from last year, this year, right. So.
So it was the last year for the town, for the school budget was $64 million and change for the actual town schools. And we leave Tri-County and Aggie kind of, remember, the subtotal, you know, the actual Tri-County budget went down.
I understand that. And I really find it hard when we can't talk about the whole number, because the reality is the reason that the Tri-County students and the Aggie students are in here is because they're Franklin children going to those schools. So when we talk about this, I'd like to talk about a whole education budget. A current budget for, and so just so I know we're being recorded, and I just want whoever listens to this to understand that we're talking about a proposed budget of $124,557,405. With that, the schools are asking for $71,319,666, which means that we're running the remaining part of the town on $53,237,739. So that's a huge chunk, and that's why I'm interested in what was this total subtotal, the subtotal of education for last year?
You just have to deduct, I mean, again, the Aggie number, I'll go get it for you before the meeting if you want. I'm just saying that the $4 million in there is basically 64, they're asking for $4
million. Yeah.
So deduct off $68 million. So you're down to 64.
So we're about $4 million higher they're asking for.
Yeah, because the Tri-County went down about $100,000.
So we're talking about $3.9 million that they're short. The town is, again, stepping up for about $500,000 of that money. And paying for that, because we're only $3.4 million short. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
With the clause, the pension assessment went up over $400,000.
We're gonna have that conversation of new tax revenues and how much money has gone up.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, apples to apples, we're really about $3.9 million short, but we're only saying we're $3.5 million short. So we're really $400,000 off of what their budget increase is.
I have to be honest, I'm not following it.
Okay. Let me put it this way. We told them in last year, because I've sat on this budget subcommittee meeting many years, we told them, and I'm not going to pick on the school only, we told the fire department, chief, we told the chief of police, we told the DPW director, we told everybody that was in that room, and there must have been, would you say, 15 of them?
Yeah.
That this money's getting tighter every year. At every meeting, you get crucified because you stand up and say, the money's getting tighter every year.
Mm-hmm.
I need to understand, if money's getting tighter every year, how do we continuously ask for $3.5 million more every year? I see that when I look at the DPW spending, when I look at the police and the fire spending, I see them trying to hold steady. They're coming up a little bit here, a little bit there. So the question that I'm asking is, what is the school, and that's why I was really hoping they were here, what is the school department's plan to mitigate this scenario? Because in 11 years that I've been on the school committee and the town council, I keep hearing that circuit breaker money is going to be less.
Yeah.
Right? I keep hearing, we're going to do this. We're going to be able to survive. Here we are. There is, and I'm sure with my fellow counselors, we've been called by everybody under the sun that always calls and says, what do you think about an override? It looks very obvious that we're being pushed into an override if we continue to let these expenses get higher and higher. So my question becomes, what is the school department's plan? And I would ask the police chief and the fire chief, because I think, still think they need to do better, and everybody needs to do better, including yourself on our budget. What is the plan to start fixing this? Because an override's a Band-Aid.
So you can ask the, so the schools will be there this evening.
I know.
So you can ask them. But in terms of the, remember, just as a preface, this is an update. This is not a budget deliberation, and we're not going to fix
it. No, I get that.
I know, but I'm just saying, from the chiefs aren't, you know, I think the police chief might be here tonight, but I didn't ask all the department heads to come this evening. Okay. So just so the expectation is, they're not all going to be in the room to fix the, or to answer every budget question. That'll come down the road.
My question is less a question, more of a statement. We need to start having a plan. We've been talking about this for years. Mm-hmm. And here we are at the budget subcommittee meeting where we need to start fixing this. And I don't know what the plan is. And that's why we hire professionals like yourself to come in and say, listen, guys, this is what you need to do. And I mean, we need to figure that out. We gotta, you know, it's more of a query than it is and needs an answer.
So I think in terms of all of our departments, I think, like I illustrated at the beginning, I think the fire department just executed a plan. I think the police department has executed a plan. Mm-hmm. I think it's about maintaining those plans. You know, you look at other places when other retirements happen downstairs or in other departments, we try to fix those things. We use the opportunities through collective bargaining to try to execute those. And I have confidence in the rest of the departments through collective bargaining, even though a couple of those agreements aren't finished yet, those plans will be executed in terms of, I don't know what you're looking for a plan, but in terms of containing costs.
Go right where I'm going.
And trying to contain those costs, again, to try to redo the way we do business to meet the needs, not of last 10 years, but from this day moving forward, okay? To try to mitigate the request to have any other tax increases on the citizens. In terms of the school department, those are questions I think that the school committee and the superintendent have got to fix on their own, and you guys can ask those questions, and you can ask those plans. To be completely honest with you, I don't know what their plan is. I don't know if they have a plan. I think at some point they will, but I think that's what tonight's meeting is designed to show the four corners of the puzzle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what you want to
do? That's what you were looking for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, so basically what you're saying, if I can kind of summarize, is that we went back to the police department and we said we needed a plan. And they came forward and so we said, here is our plan. And we went back to the fire department and said, we need a plan. And they came forward and said, here is our plan.
There is not one department on the municipal side that I can think of that has not risen to that challenge. The library's risen to that challenge. The senior center is operating on about a $300,000 a year budget. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't care what way you cut it. I know the Friends of the Senior Center, you know, are a big part of that. Right. They are. But let's be real. I mean, the way Karen and Aaron.
Look at the rec department. I know it's small number.
It's about a dollar to a dollar.
Look at what they do.
That's right.
Look at what they do
with
what they get.
That's right.
They get all the fees. It's paid by the fees of the people, right?
And as my opening remarks later on will showcase, the library's packed. We're also hogtied a little bit by the state MAR formula, which last year, as all of you recall, we finally did get off that waiver list. And we were able to get off the MAR, right?
Right.
So does the library need every single dollar they have? Maybe not, but we're also stuck in a position where we have to hit that minimum annual contribution.
Right.
All of you know that.
Right.
And the other truth is that at the library, if you go down there during the day or on weekends, the place is jam-packed with people. So you're filling a demand that's there anyway. So you're filling a customer service responsibility. To me, I have no problem with the state, contribution. So our departments do what we can, and we constantly change the way we do business. And so, I think traditionally in Franklin too, Councilor Gulley, before I got here, I think the town administrator and or the council gave the school committee a budget and said, here's your number. You go figure out what you want to do with it. And so I think we're in the same boat, or we will be in the same boat in a month when the finance director and I put together a balanced budget and go before FinCom. It will be a balanced budget. And I think some of those questions are questions that have to be answered, hopefully, by the school committee.
Awesome. Yeah. Any other questions? Sorry for monopolizing.
No, that's okay. No. No,
I feel like I monopolized the time.
Are they going to be talking about an override tonight?
Have you heard? Council Plug, I don't know.
I think there are some people that will be in the audience
sure.
that are interested in that question.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they will speak and ask, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
But we're not, you know.
My second part to that is, mm-hmm. are they going to be talking about the demographic study that was done, showing that we're going to be losing 1,600 students within the next 5 years? Am I right, five? Are they going to mention that? I mean, because how are we as a council going to be able to do anything with an override or agree to an override with something like that going on? Our constituents are going to just step all over us.
So to answer your question a little bit, Council mm-hmm. Blagojevich, I don't know the answer to that as well.
Yeah.
I think if you, the first sentence in my memo, I think, sums it up. The purpose of tonight's discussion and memo is to give the community an update on where the FY21 budget process stands and what the numbers generally look like at this point. You know, I don't think, like, you know, I don't think going into April with FinCom meetings and then showing up in May, the council gives people in the public an idea of where the four corners of the puzzle are and what the decisions are and what has to get made. So this was just a brief update.
Mm-hmm.
If there are questions tonight, you know, there are going to be questions tonight. If nobody comes up to ask, if the council just decides to listen to my update, great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the update's the update. If they ask questions, they may have to ask questions, and some of us, as well as myself and the other members, may have to ask questions out of
mm-hmm.
them.
Lastly, mm-hmm. Are they going to be able to show us what this 3 million is going, their increase? Are they showing us what it's being used for? Why it's going up?
So the superintendent has out her own recommended budget. There was no goal tonight to actually do a whole full presentation. The superintendent and the school committee have voted on that budget as of now, and there's a couple more dates down the line where they're going to have a budget hearing of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go through their process.
And they'll show us just where these increases are. Certainly salaries, I know that.
I think you have the ability to, if they're there, have the ability to ask any of those questions out of them.
No.
But the purpose of tonight was not to really go through the whole entire exercise of what's in the school department
budget.
This
was supposed to be an update.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mel.
Thanks. So you say that a balanced budget isn't within reach, which is a really good, positive thing to mm-hmm. hear. Is that partially because of the increased unforeseen increase in the new property tax revenue? So that's like $3 million right there, right?
Yes. The short answer is yes.
Okay.
And make no mistake.
Short answers are good for me.
No, but also, you know, the additional extra couple hundred thousand in new growth. The reason
why
I traditionally don't use new growth in local receipts as a great barometer is because they can tank really quickly and they can ebb and flow. Property tax revenue traditionally is much more stable and reflective of what you can support. And so there's no question that, as I put somewhere in here, you know, make no mistake, you know, the strong economy, without question, is the reason why we are able to sustain so many core resources and have the flexibility and ability to do the reforms that Councilor Kelly was talking about a minute ago with the DPW and the fire and police and that stuff.
Right.
It just gives us the ability to obviously be able to do that. Any change in that trajectory, you know, is going to obviously require much more deeper policy updates. So.
Okay.
And decision making. So, but there's no question. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Just a point of interest. School committee saw the superintendent's recommended budget.
Can you just identify yourself?
Certainly.
we're being recorded.
Since we're being recorded, I might as well, since my voice is not immediately recognizable. Steve Sherlock, 10 Lawrence Drive, reporting on behalf of Franklin Matters and Franklin TV and Radio.
Go ahead, Mr. Sherlock.
So the superintendent's recommended budget was presented. It was not voted on. The voting is scheduled for March and April. There's additional meetings before they actually vote in April on that. And their presentation is available on their page, certainly shared through Franklin Matters. I also shared out the portion specifically for the budget piece. So if you just want to listen to that as opposed to the entire meeting,
mm-hmm.
you can do that.
The hard piece for the fairness.
Nope. Go ahead.
Wow.
Chairman Mercer.
One of the hard pieces for the school is that 80% of their budget is salaries and benefits.
Yeah, it's a public.
Yeah,
okay.
I got it. That was a good touch.
You know, so as they have lane increases and increases, that's adds up to a big number.
Right.
Go ahead.
And that's not in support. It's just an actual statement. Having, like Matt, sat in those seats for a number of years.
Right, so there's really nothing that they can...
Well, there's not a... When you think of 80% of the budget, when you look at salaries, mm-hmm. and obviously they have those steps mm-hmm. and lanes, and then when they get masters and so forth, they, mm-hmm. all of these continue to build. So their number increases at a much higher rate than other departments would, because their salaries are such a big part of the number. And that's, again, not in defense of anything. It's just...
No, but I think you're right, because you know, keep in mind that the requirements for a teacher to have to continue on with their education mm-hmm. In Massachusetts requires them to go take classes, which of course then pushes the steps and lanes as they move.
Right.
So mm-hmm. you know, right. once a citizen and really all of us sit down and understand that process, people think that we give the teachers these raises, but it's not necessarily. They're continuing their education as they're required by Mass Ed, and then at the end of the day, that pushes them. So not only are they getting, you know, and in full disclosure, my wife is going through the process of this mm-hmm. now, right? She'll take two classes, it'll bring her up mm-hmm. to the next step. But at the end of the day, that's not the town saying, you need to do this. It's our state saying, you need to do this in order mm-hmm. to meet the requirements of continuing your license and being able to hold your license to teach in Massachusetts. And then it gets pushed back onto the town, where they have to couple that with a raise. So they're doing it because it's a requirement of the Mass right. Ed framework. I think it's the Mass Ed framework. Yeah. And then on the same time, they're getting their raise. So it does look like they're double dipping at times, but the reality is they're being forced to almost double dip by the system that the state has created in order to make them stay in compliant with their license. Hmm.
There are some communities that pay for it, continuing education. We don't, though, do we?
Yes.
For the teachers.
I would have to ask. I don't know about Franklin.
I believe some of it is. Chris?
Yes, I believe up to 50%.
Right, I was going to say.
Depending on available budget.
So paying for that, we're giving them the increases, up these lanes and all. That's quite a an amount that we're adding on to them. And I think that's great, but I mean, it's something that has to be taken into consideration.
I agree. I'm just having a conversation, sorry. Yeah, it is quite an amount, and it does push that teacher up very quickly. But we do the same thing for the police,
uh-huh.
Where they used to have the Quinn bill,
fire.
Right? And the fire has the same, mm-hmm. and you're able to take classes and move yourself up. But, of course, we want the very best police, fire, and teachers that we possibly can have. And the obvious answer to why we have such great teachers is because constantly we all hear in this room about a teacher who is excellent and works for the Franklin Public Schools, and next thing you know, they're going to Weston and Wayland. And because
after we've paid them.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you know what? If we were GE and they were Genzyme, and I'm using two way different companies, but we wanted them, we go out and get them too, because we want the very best to work for us, and that's what they're trying to do. We are great. We've made a great opportunity for teachers in Franklin, to the best of the best, to be picked out and taken other places.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's the same thing with police and the same
but
thing with
fire.
But we
can keep them if we pay them more, right? I mean, is it because they're getting paid more? Is that why they leave?
But yeah, I think they get paid more. There's more advances of advancement opportunities.
Right.
You can move up. You know, we see a lot of teachers become principals, and a lot of assistant principals become principals. And I think we also, and now I'm just going back to my school committee days, but I mean, how many times did we see a superintendent go, well, I might go to this other school district because I'll get paid more.
Sure.
And with our town, there's only so much we can pay.
Yeah.
right? It would be like, for instance, you have a small business and you pay somebody $40,000 a year, and somebody comes and says, "Well, I'm going to pay that employee $60,000." Well, you look at your books and you go, "We cannot afford $60,000.
Can't afford $40,000.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, you go, "I want to keep you, but I can't." You can take some feed home. I don't know how to tell you, right? That's what you do. But we're in a hard position where we have become this kind of training ground for a lot of great people, and people flock here.
It's a difficult.
Ground. That's absolutely true.
It's a difficult position for them to be in. And it's difficult choices that they have to make, and sometimes the choices that they choose to make cost them teachers because programs aren't what the particular teacher wanted or was expecting to have, and then it doesn't happen because of budget constraints. It's difficult. It's difficult for all. But Jamie and I were talking earlier, and and I think I was talking to Debbie. Having sat in that school committee chair seat for 10 years, and then knowing that our mission as a school committee is to get every possible dollar we can get for the students of your community. That's your mission statement of every school committee in the country. But now sitting on this side, we also have a fiduciary responsibility to 34,000 students, not necessarily not just 6,000 or 5,000 students. So that's where it becomes a difficult juggling act. And you have to look at it and make what in your mind is the best possible decision for the entire community.
President Steve Sherlock?
From my unique role reporting from multiple meetings, it would probably be a good idea to have the school committee, and Sarah and Miriam can get into great detail around what they've done in addressing their steps and lane changes to get a better position as to where they are. Specifically, potentially, at least at a budget subcommittee meeting, whether or not public. Because they have made some attempts.
Town Administrator.
Thank you, Chairman. The reality is that no matter what the lanes are, the steps, no matter what's in the contracts here or there, the reality is your tax base cannot possibly come close to supporting what the demands are of what people put forward. Right. And we could talk about all the things that we want, and I think that all of this is a good conversation, and I think the school department puts forth its case with all the, you know, nooks and crannies of what the issues are that the school department wants. You know, the truth of the matter is that you do not have the structural tax base to get anywhere near what they're requesting. That's just basic math, it's basic numbers, it's the rule of law. And there is nothing that's going to likely change that trajectory. And that's why your earlier point, to circle back to the meeting, what you asked earlier, is when we go and look at the challenges of the police department, and they say, we're not keeping up with call demand, and we need more officers, I look at them and I say, you guys are the chiefs, you're the lieutenants, we gotta figure something out. And what did they do when you did that?
They figured it out.
And not only did they figure it out, they did one of the hardest things you can possibly do in the police services department. They really did.
But I think you're
and the same thing with the fire department, right? They keep, you know, you guys have been hearing this, the community's been hearing this, we need more paramedics, we need this, we need that. Well, we just did something that not every department can do. And in next January, we're gonna be in a position, and it'll be in my numbers right here, for that half year, those four additional paramedics. I mean, we're trying to restructure the way we do business in order to meet those needs. We just can't be doing the same stuff over and over every year just for the sake of doing it. We need to be a nimble organization. And, you know, I don't get into a lot of the school committee because they have their own statutory authority. They need to make some of those decisions, I think, on their own. Because the simple reality is their tax base, our tax base is never going to be able to support these numbers at this time. And even if you did do something that was going to increase that a little bit, I'd wonder in the future, even still, how much you'd be able to keep up with the numbers that the community is looking for.
But I think we're not alone. I mean, no, we're mass municipal meetings all the time.
Yeah.
Every town's facing this problem. We're just trying to head it off at the curb.
I think you're spot on. Bellingham, you just saw they put an override on. Mm-hmm. You're going to start to see the King Philip issue in the neighboring towns. Yeah. They're going to need to see layoffs, or they're going to have to be going for
overrides. It's coincidental that we're the same as Plainville, $3.5 million short on their budget.
And they're in that position, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, we are not alone, but we've got to solve the problem partially in-house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just simply have to
Well, the residents of Franklin expect us to work to give them the biggest bang for the buck. And that's what I'm, and everyone here that is elected was here to do, is to, you know, and this will come up a lot tonight, we took an oath to make this, give them the best deal they can get. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, that's our job. And I think only holding people like yourself and the superintendent responsible and to make a number work is important. So, any other questions? I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends or neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.